Welcome to day 44 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to Numbers 13 through 15. Spies sent into Canaan. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites from each of their ancestral tribes. You shall send a man, every one a leader among you." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them leading men among the Israelites. These were their names from the tribes of Reuben, Shammua, son of Zakur, and the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, son of Hori, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, from the tribe of Issachar, Igal, son of Joseph, from the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, son of Nun, from the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, son of Raphu, from the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, son of Sodi, from the tribe of Joseph, that is, from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, son of Susi, from the tribe of Dan, Amiel, son of Gamali, from the tribe of Asher, Sethur, son of Michael, from the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, son of Vopsi, from the tribe of Gad, Gul, son of Maki. These were the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses changed the name of Hosea, son of Nun, to Joshua. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up there into Negeb, and go up into the hill country and see what the land is like and whether the people who live in it are weak or strong, whether they are few or many, and whether the land they live in is good or bad, and whether the town that they live in are unwalled or fortified, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be bold and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now it was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness and Zin to Rohob near Lebahath-Moth. They went up into Negeb and to Hebron and Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. The Anakites were there. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the Wadi Eshkol and cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Wadi Eshkol because of the cluster that the Israelites cut down from there. The report of the spies. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from the spying of the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the Israelites in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they reported to him and said, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Yet the people who live in the land are strong, and the towns are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the land of Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." So they brought to the Israelites an unfavored report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land that we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great size. There we saw the Nephilim, the Anakites from the Nephilim, and to ourselves we seem like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." The people rebel. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the Israelites. And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the Israelites, "The land that we went through as spies is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are no more than bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But the whole congregation threatened to stone them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites, and the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." Moses intercedes for the people. But Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for in your might you brought up this people from among you. And they will tell the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that, O Lord, you are in the midst of this people, for you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill this people as one, then the nations who have heard about you will say, 'It is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land he swore to give them, and he has slaughtered them in the wilderness.' And now, therefore, let the power of the Lord be great in the way that you promised when you spoke, saying, 'The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children in the third and fourth generations. Forgive the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have pardoned this people from Egypt even until now.' Then the Lord said, 'I do forgive just as you have asked. Nevertheless, as I live and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the people who have seen my glory and the signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have tested me these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice shall see the land that I swore to give to their ancestors. None of those who despise me shall see it, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me wholeheartedly, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Now, since the Amalekites and the Canaanites live in this valley, turn tomorrow and set out for the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea.' An attempted invasion is repulsed. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, 'How long shall this wicked congregation complain against me? I have heard the complaints of the Israelites, which they complain against me. Say to them, "As I live, says the Lord, I will do the very things I heard you say. Your dead bodies shall fall in this very wilderness, and all your numbers included in the census from 20 years old and up, who have complained against me, not a one of you shall come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. But your little ones who you said would become plunder, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have despised. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness for 40 years and shall suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days for every day a year, you shall bear your iniquity 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely I will do thus to all this wicked congregation gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall come to a full end, and there shall die. And the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report about the land, the men who brought an unfavorable report about the land died by a plague before the Lord. But Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, alone remained alive of those men who went to spy on the land." When Moses told these words to all the Israelites, the people mourned greatly. They rose early in the morning and went up to the heights of the hill country, saying, "Here we are. We will go to the place that the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." But Moses said, "Why do you continue to transgress the command of the Lord? That will not succeed. Do not go up, for the Lord is not with you. Do not let yourselves be struck down before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites will confront you there, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned back from following the Lord. The Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up to the heights of the hill country, even though the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses had not left the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in the hill country came down and defeated them, pursuing them as far as Hormah. Various offerings. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to your Israelites and say to them, when you come into the land you are to inhabit, which I am giving you, and you make an offering by fire to the Lord from the herd or from the flock, whether a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering or at your appointed festivals to make a pleasing odor for the Lord, then whoever presents such an offering to the Lord shall present also a grain offering, 1/10 of an ephah of choice flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of oil. Moreover, you shall offer 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering with a burnt offering or the sacrifice for each lamb. For a ram, you shall offer a grain offering, 2/10 of an ephah of choice flour mixed with 1/3 of a hin of oil. And as a drink offering, you shall offer 1/3 of a hin of wine, a pleasing odor to the Lord. When you offer a bull as a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow or as an offering of well-being to the Lord, then you shall present with the bull a grain offering, 3/10 of an ephah of choice flour mixed with 1/2 a hin of oil. And you shall present as a drink offering 1/2 a hin of wine as an offering by fire, a pleasing odor to the Lord. Thus it shall be done for each ox or ram or for each of the male lambs or the kids, according to the number that you offer. So you shall do with each and every one. Every native Israelite shall do these things in this way, in presenting an offering by fire, a pleasing odor to the Lord. An alien who lives with you or takes up permanent residence among you and wishes to offer an offering by fire, a pleasing odor to the Lord, shall do as you do. As for the assembly, there shall be for both you and the resident alien a single statute, a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You and the alien shall be alike before the Lord. You and the alien who reside with you shall have the same law and the same ordinance." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, after you come into the land to which I am bringing you, whenever you eat of the bread of the land, you shall present a donation to the Lord. From your first batch of dough, you shall present a loaf as a donation. You shall present it just as you present a donation from the threshing floor. Throughout your generations, you shall give to the Lord a donation from the first of your batch of dough. But if you unintentionally fail to observe all these commandments that the Lord has spoken to Moses, from the day the Lord gave commandment and thereafter throughout your generation, then if it was done unintentionally without the knowledge of the congregation, the whole congregation shall offer one young bull for a burnt offering, a pleasing odor to the Lord, together with its grain offering and its drink offering according to the ordinance, and one male goat for a purification offering. The priest shall make atonement for all the congregation of the Israelites, and they shall be forgiven. It was unintentional, and they have brought their offering, an offering by fire to the Lord, and their purification offering before the Lord for their error. All the congregation of the Israelites shall be forgiven, as well as the aliens residing among you, because the whole people was involved in the error. An individual who sins unintentionally shall present a female goat a year old for a purification offering, and the priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the one who commits an error, when it is unintentional, to make atonement for the person, who then shall be forgiven. For both the native among the Israelites and the alien residing among you, you shall have the same law for anyone who acts in error. But whoever acts high-handedly, whether native-born or an alien, affronts the Lord and shall be cut off from among the people. Because of having despised the word of the Lord and broken his commandment, such a person shall be utterly cut off and bear the guilt. Penalty for violating the Sabbath. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses, Aaron, and the whole congregation. They put him in custody because it was not clear what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him outside the camp." The whole congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Fringes on garments. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and tell them to make fringes on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue cord on the fringe at each corner. You have the fringe so that when you see it, you will remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and not follow the lust of your own heart and your own eyes. So you shall remember and do all my commandments, and you shall be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? What can we interpret from the story of the spies going into the promised land? God has led them to this place, and yet there are some who doubt. Also, how are we to interpret God leading the Israelites to a place that is already inhabited? Now let's move to Romans 13 to 15. Being subject to authorities. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you wish to have no fear of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive its approval, for it is God's agent for your good. But if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is the agent of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are God's agents busy with this very thing. Pay to all what is due them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. Love for one another. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. An urgent appeal. Beside this, you know what time it is, for it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex and lasciviousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Do not judge one another. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on slaves of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own mind. Those who observe the day observe it for the Lord, and those who eat eat for the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain abstain for the Lord and give thanks to God. For we do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall praise to God. So then each one of us will be held accountable. Do not make another stumble. Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother or sister. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who considers it unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. Do not let your good be slandered, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The one who serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and has human approval. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong to make someone stumble by what you eat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. Hold the conviction that you have as your own before God. Blessed are those who do not condemn themselves because of what they approve, but those who have doubts are condemned if they eat because they do not act from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Please others, not yourselves. We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel for Jews and Gentiles alike. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God in order that he might confirm the promise given to the ancestors. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul's reason for writing so boldly. I feel myself confident about you, my brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Nevertheless, on some points I have written to you rather boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offerings of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to boast of my work for God, for I will not be so bold as to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to win obedience from the Gentiles by word or deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and as far around as Ithacrum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Thus I make it my ambition to proclaim the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, so that I do not build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him shall see. Those who have never heard of him shall understand. Paul's plan to visit Rome. This is the reason that I've so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, I desire, as I have for many years, to come to you when I go to Spain. For I do hope to see you on my journey and to be sent on by you once I have enjoyed your company for a little while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem in a ministry to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to share their resources with the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do this, and indeed they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material things. So when I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will set out by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in earnest prayer to God on my behalf, that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my ministry to Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. The God of peace be with you. Amen. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? Paul states that love is the fulfilling of the law. How can we implement this in our lives? I'm reminded of an earlier reflection when reading John and thinking about where are the places in our lives that we need to grow our love. Paul goes on to explain that through love, we cannot judge one another or cause one another harm. We need to focus on the needs of others and learn not to center our thinking around ourselves. We are called to welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed us. How do we fulfill this law when interacting with others who may not be welcoming or kind? Let us end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.